on Abounding Grace Radio, today with Pastor Chris Gordon.
It's not just the problem of the culture, it's the problem of the human heart. You can't block it as much as we all want to from our children. They were doing the things they were trained to accept. And the point is, when we come to a passage like this that is so graphically perverse, that for them, it was no big deal. Now, why am I raising all of this today? Who is given to curb this and to stop this in children? You.
It's the Christmas story like you've never heard it before from Genesis 19, verses 30 through 38. Welcome to Abounding Grace Radio. Pastor Chris Gordon takes us back to Genesis to look once again at this sad story with a redemptive heart right in the middle of it all. Here's Pastor Chris with today's program.
This is verse 31. And the firstborn said to the younger, "Our father is old, and there is not a man on earth to come in to us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him. Come, that we may preserve our offspring from our father." So they made him drink their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with the father. And he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. And then this happens again with the other daughter. Twisted. Absolutely twisted. They desired to preserve the seed. They desired to have sons go on and maintain the father's name. Maybe they thought that God had wiped out the whole world at this point. I don't know. But whatever the case, they devised this plan and schemed, and they got their father drunk, and incest happens that night in the cave. It's important to state that all the codes, the civil codes of the time, condemn this. The codes of Hammurabi, the Hittite law, they all condemn this and attached the death penalty to it. God's law would too. And if we think that Lot was innocent in this, we've really not read it correctly. It's not that he didn't know what's going on. He's not unconscious. You don't do this when you're unconscious. It is that the wine had completely blocked him and putting him into this intoxicated state, and he didn't have the ability to exercise judgment any longer. That's what alcohol does. So one of the themes of Genesis here that we've been looking at is this pattern we've seen over and over. Noah in the tent, this fall-like pattern that's continuing to show us the fallen state of man just after deliverance. But I want us to think for a minute here about the bigger message that's going on. One of you walked up 2 weeks ago after the sermon, and you said to me, you said, "Lot is truly baffling to me, Pastor. There's not one good work recorded. There's not one good work recorded. He doesn't seem to fit the Romans 8 man, does he? He's not mortifying the deeds. What do you think God's teaching us?" That's the only thing I can come with when I reflect on the life of Lot. What is God teaching us about him? That's what I want to really explore. Outside of Lot, who would you say, or outside of even, if we're looking at the sorrows of people in the Bible, outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the man that you would say in the Bible, the single man that was filled with the most sorrow in life? You all would say Job. Of course you would. I mean, I can kind of handle the story of Job. You know why I can handle the story of Job? Because it ends well. It all ended well by the end of Job. It's an amazing story. At least I have it written down for me how it ended for him. Have you ever considered in your life the sufferings of Lot? Have you ever considered it? God put him down for a reason. And it's one thing to endure hardship and affliction when God simply decides in his providence to take it all away. That's a tough, tough thing to deal with. And you all, some of you have had to really deal with that in life. You haven't understood in God's providence why things happen the way that they do. You haven't understood why God took so-and-so the way that he did, and you've suffered loss, and it's been painful. I understand that. We have Job for a reason. But Lot, this is an incredible story of suffering. Consider it. He's alone. He's taken to the bottle with no restraint. He's just lost his sons-in-law. He's just lost his wife. All of his possessions have been ripped away. His home is gone. Everybody hates him. People want to kill him, and he's in a cave. It's a quite different scenario when you have hardship and affliction because you are suffering the loss of it all because of your own foolish choices in life. That's a different pill to swallow. I mean, this is bad decision-making the whole way through. Family destroyed by fire, home ripped away, all he has left on him. This is the imagery here. Think of him alone in an entombed in a cave, only with the clothes on his back and some alcohol and his daughters. And I think the first thing the Lord is teaching us here is to look at what you can do to your life. Look at what you can do to your life. The great contrast that has been drawn here is between Abraham and Lot. And it's teaching us the painful consequences of trying to live by sight. And I believe the Lord is giving us a real sense here because we are all about covering. We are all about uncovering. And the Bible keeps uncovering what we're trying to cover all over the place. And we're coming to the table, and we all look nice. We are always making things look better than what they really are. And we cover what's really going on in the human heart. All of you, be scary to expose it today. And here, all of a sudden, we're feeling how damaging and painful the effects of sin are. And not only just how painful at the moment, but how far and long-reaching they are. What did Lot try to do? He ended up trying to control his life, and here we go. He ends up just like Jonah, entombed at the very bottom in a dark cave, just like at the bottom of the ocean in a fish, which Jonah calls hell. So the suffering of Lot, I don't think has been recognized enough. I've come to realize, though, especially with looking at Lot, that there's something else that's even worse. I told you, we're going down, 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 and then we'll go up. This goes a little bit further down when you consider the consequences of sin. I've come to realize as a pastor, we talk a lot about the means of grace. We talk a lot about the means of grace in preaching. And amen. This is why God has this. This is what you're coming to today to receive grace from him. But do we talk enough also about the means of the Father? Do we talk enough about the means of the Father? Abraham, I'm knowing you to command your children in the way of the Lord. That's why I'm setting you apart to me, that you would train your children in the way of the Lord. As I look at the scriptures, though, and I see this emphasis on the Father, and here we're seeing consequences of actions. Notice what's happened here. Children value what the parents value. That's why I've seen this in the life of the ministry. When children walk off and abandon the church and they speak ill about the church, oftentimes what has happened is that was the parents' attitude about the church. That's why oftentimes it happened. There was no value to it. Why do I say all that? How could the daughters begin to suggest this? That's the question that I'm wrestling with. How could the daughters begin to suggest this? And the thing that you come up with here is this. This is not the beginning of a problem. This is the end of a long problem. Lot's daughters were products of Sodom. And the New Testament says that Sodom was filled with all kinds of sensual conduct and lawless deeds. They were entrenched in a society that was constantly presenting before them violence, sexual immorality, and the worst kind, cruelty and drunkenness and sensual things. This was the norm, the cultural norm of Sodom. And what do you think happens to those who are raised in this? They're invaded with it. And it's not just the problem of the culture, it's the problem of the human heart. You can't block it as much as we all want to from our children. They were doing the things they were trained to accept. And the point is, when we come to a passage like this that is so graphically perverse, that for them, it was no big deal. It was no big deal. They weren't nervous about suggesting this. Think about it. Where is the line of morality pushed? Go back. We've done this a little bit, but I haven't pushed it this far. 1930s and 40s, what was the line of morality? It was adultery, wasn't it? I mean, that was where in a society you would have said, hey, psh, come on, that's wrong. Is that wrong today? Keep going. It's not adultery. Where is it now? We legalize all sorts of things. Is it prostitution? Polygamy? I've seen TV shows now with this. See the line going back and back and back? Child abuse? Pedophilia? Look, in Roman culture, that was the norm. And society's heading there. Now, why am I raising all of this today? Who is given to curb this and to stop this in children? You. And if we don't talk to our children about these things, who will? If the church is silent, who will? If the father is silent, who will? I often would hear as a pastor, well, our children just have to learn the hard way. Why do they have to learn the hard way? Why? If you learn the hard way, then don't you want to keep them from learning the hard way? It's not hypocrisy. That's good parenting. The daughters didn't take seriously this because it was their father who tried to hand them over to the men of Sodom to do whatever they wanted to do. Remember? Do you understand now a little bit what God is showing us through the life of Lot? Uncomfortable as it is, I was reflecting a lot on the life of Lot, and I thought to myself, about what Jesus said, whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. It's a remarkable thing because in the context, all I've seen is Lot trying to hold on to his life. And when I read a statement like that by our Lord, I used to think that just meant, well, I guess I need to set myself to start losing my life. But that's the one thing I can't do. Because all of you, including your pastor, are desperately holding on to it. And we hold tight. It's a remarkable thing. We have promised to us. Think about it. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. We get a brand new resurrected body. We get to be with the Lord where there's no more sin and misery. And yet we're holding tight to this. And we make plans and we try to root ourselves down. And you should ask the question, then what has really happened to Lot? Well, here's where the story turns for you. Maybe it's the question, what has the Lord done for Lot? That's the question now we should begin to explore. The answer to that is he's rescued him. You say, how in the world has he rescued him? What do you look at this mess? Lot tried to live gaining the world, and what did God just do for him? Pulled him out of it and stripped it all. He has nothing left. His wealth, his status, his dignity, his wife, the world, it's all been taken from him. Clear chastening, but for what end? We could walk away and think, well, how depressing for Lot. You ever ask the question, what happened to him? What ended up happening to Lot? This is the last scene in the Old Testament of Lot. Could God really clean up a mess like this? Could God really clean up a mess like this? Could he forgive sins like this? Could God rescue a man like this? And now I'm ready to say the Lord jumps into this scene like you've never seen him jump into a scene ever before. What did God do for Lot? He didn't abandon him. And I can say that with absolute confidence. How can I say that? Everyone look carefully at verse 37. The firstborn bore a son and called his name Moab. He's the father of the Moabites to this day. The younger also bore a son and called his name Ben-Ammi, son of the kinsman. He's a father of the people of Ammon to this day. What essentially happened is Sodom was reborn that night. Sodom was reborn. And these two peoples would be great thorns in Abraham's side. In the children of Israel. Moab would seduce the children of Israel to sexual immorality. I mean, the pattern just continued, right? But one day, a family of Israel moved to the land of Moab. And there was a young gal there by the name of Ruth. You remember? And this little Moabitess woman returned back to Israel. And she said, and we read, I'm clinging to you. I will go wherever you go. Remember, she said this to Naomi. Your people shall be my people. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. So the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts us. You know who that was? That was a daughter of Lot. And a kinsman redeemer. Named Boaz, a son of Abraham, redeemed Lot's daughter. And here is the Christmas story, like I said, I hope I'm not sounding too arrogant, that I don't know if you've ever heard like it before. It would be through a daughter of Lot that your Messiah would come. In the cave, in an incestuous act, the Messiah would come from that. Matthew 1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David, the king. You see why there's emphasis here in the line? It was through Ruth the Moabitess who redeemed Boaz. Through redeemed Boaz, who redeemed her, Boaz did, that Jesus Christ would come and he bought her back. And the great story that we celebrate is that Christ has come and that Christ is redeemed and Christ has claimed worldly sinners like Lot. And the story that we celebrate is that God's love is for wandering sinners, coming after them and redeeming them from this kind of mess. To this kind of degree. And that's what's pictured today in the story of Lot. You see, the Lord wants us to see how he stepped into and came from this kind of mess. A cave incident. He who knew no sin was willing to be identified with these kinds of sinners. And I asked the question this morning, are you beginning to grasp this gospel? Everyone said, gospel, 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 gospel. I'm asking, are you beginning to really grasp it? You are foul. I am foul. We're all messed up. And you could take passages like this and you could go, phew. You could say like C.H. Leupold, not a text to be preached. Or you could ask, what God is really teaching you here? Who is in this genealogy? Tamar the prostitute. Rahab the harlot, Ruth the Moabitess, Bathsheba the adulteress. That's your family. That's your family. Those are the skeletons none of you'd want to bring out. And that's the Christmas story. You see, we can't sanitize it. Trust me, your children are getting sought and pushed on them left and right. The antidote to that is this: to see what Jesus did for sinners, to see that Jesus came for sinners, and that he identifies with sinners, and that he rescues them from the tombs that we are in spiritually, and that God would care to give his son even for Lot, and to clean up a mess like this, to tell us that whatever Satan means for evil, God will work for good. This Jesus who knew no sin became sin for us and identified with us that we today might be the righteousness of God in him. That's our Christ. That's our Savior. And he wants you to know that he has a table spread for you in the wilderness of good wine, not the wine like Lot went after, the wine of salvation, the wine of freedom, the wine of gospel. I think every time at this year, as I've been in the ministry, everyone is full of all kinds of stress as Christians. Many of you are facing things right now and you can't figure it out. It's a kind of burden, worldliness, stress, and you don't know what's going on. It always hits at these times of year. I have seen it, I've lived it, I know it. Greatest pressures. And we're tempted heavily to follow the path of Lot. And sin comes out. But Jesus has another message for us today. He's committed to the project. He's committed to the project. He's committed to the project of taking your life and raising you brand new, that you would not follow like this and what's put before you today. Lot's an example of what not to do. And we have a great example in Father Abraham, who was set apart and trained his children to know the Lord, to love the Lord. But the good news here is that the Lord can pull us out of the greatest of messes. I mean, look at the mess. He can redeem your sons and your daughters. And if you have children who've run, talk to them. He has the power to do it. He can go into a cave scene like this and rescue. And if God can do that, that the Son of God would come from this line, there is absolutely no mess that we can create in this life that he cannot deliver us from. But you should confess your sins, and you should trust him, and you should come to him with a broken and contrite heart. He'll identify with you, and he'll give you a place at his table. Now we're beginning to understand the Christmas story.
And that is the Christmas story like you've never heard it before, right out of Genesis chapter 19. Now, you've been listening to Pastor Chris Gordon here today on Abounding Grace. Questions and comments are always welcome. In fact, if you have a smartphone, simply access your voice memo app. Leave us a question. Don't forget your name and where you're calling from, and then email it to us, questions@agradio.org. We'll do our best to get Pastor Chris to answer it for you here on the program. Praise reports are welcome as well. Again, questions@agradio.org is where you would email your voice memos. And if you wish to write to us or give us a call, you can reach out to us a couple of ways. First, as always, our website, agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Or give us a call, 888-504-8805. You know, we have a lot of friends who have come alongside of us financially and prayerfully, committing to partnering with us that this program continues on this radio station. It's our prayer that you would join that growing list of friends and Abounding Grace Radio family members who are concerned about this broadcast, are encouraged by it, and committed to seeing that it continues on this radio station. If you are, please contact us today. No gift is too small, no gift is too large. Whether it's a one-time gift or a monthly gift, it all makes a huge difference as we continue ministering the gospel here on this radio station. Reach us at 888-504-8805 or agradio.org.
Well, tomorrow on Abounding Grace, we'll continue our survey of Genesis as we move into chapter 20. Message simply entitled, Prepare the Way of the Lord. Now, have you ever struggled with besetting sins? You know what I'm talking about. Those sins that keep creeping back into our lives. Those sins that we go back to when we're frustrated. Those habitual sins. How do we deal with those? What are those? Well, that is what we're looking at tomorrow as we continue looking at Genesis. Prepare the way of the Lord. Join us then for Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.